Before I get started, this won't be no 15 or 20 minute message. And I'm not looking for a theological debate tonight. This is pretty plain right here. And I'm not looking for a millennial view. I know where I stand. I'm pretty steadfast on it. Matter of fact, but I'm not here to debate that tonight. But I'm going to preach out of Revelation chapter number 16. That's where I'm at tonight. And I'm going to scare you to death right here, but I'm going to expound on this entire chapter. There's 21 verses in here, but I can do it pretty quick. I guarantee you by 2.5-3 hours, no problem, I'll have it done. I'll be done long before that. We went through the entire book of Revelation again, and we've done a chapter a night on Sunday nights. And it's taken me a little while to get it done, special events and all that stuff, but I closed her out Sunday night. But when I done this, it wasn't a microscopic view, as my old teacher, Brother Raymond Ridge, used to say, but it was more of a survey per chapter. That was his favorite term. But when I come to chapter 16, I've studied and I've read and I've taught this a few times, and I'm no prophecy teacher by any means, but I can read and discern a little bit about the Word of God. And I had read this over and over and over, and I was sitting in my study, and I seen something that I'd never seen in this before. And I want to share it with you tonight. Now, normally I read my text, and then I pray. First, I'm going to pray tonight, and then just go from there. But I want you to think about this while I'm praying. I'm going to preach tonight on this, on the cup of wrath. The cup of wrath. Father, I love you. You know my heart tonight, Father. You know why you brought me here. I've lived all my life to be here tonight. God, you brought every person in this building here tonight. There's no one here by circumstance, but God, you brought them here for purpose. God, I know that I can't do a thing with this scripture, but lest the Holy Ghost come upon me and you fill my mouth and guard my tongue. And you anoint me, God, you use me for your glory. I don't have any other reason to live. One of these days, as they sing, I'm coming home. God, I'm going to lay everything down on this side of the river, and I'm coming to home. So bless this message tonight. Save some lost soul here tonight. God, feed your people. Let us understand the cup of wrath. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. As an introduction, tonight, quickly, I'll just bring us to this point. This isn't, though we call this the revelation of John, really, if you read the first verses in the first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's been revealed through this book, and he's though he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now at this point in the particular, we've come to the end of what is known as the tribulation period. I'm not expecting the saved people to be here. Now you can believe whatever you want to, but I'm just going to leave when he sounds the horn.
Amen.
Now we've seen this. We've seen that no man was found worthy to open the seals. And old John said he wept much. But bless God, there's a lion from the tribe of Judah stood up. Amen. And he was found worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And the seals begin to display and show what's going to transpire through what we know there's a tribulation period. But then after the seals, there's seven trumpets. Those trumpets are going to pronounce woes upon this world. You think you've seen earthquakes in our day. You think you've seen fires and famines and floods and terrible things. We've never seen anything compared when God begins to sound the horn and the woes are beginning to be opened up upon a God-hating world.
Amen.
But when we get to this point, Brother John David Wilson, we've come to the place where God's about to open up His wrath.
Yes, right.
The seals was one thing to give you a picture. It was like the preview of a movie. The wolves, the trumpets, when they're sounding, shows you some bad things that's going to happen. But when you get to the world, the trouble of Jacob, a time like no other. There's never been a time like this. There will be survivors. People will be alive. The world will be a mess. We just think it's a mess now. We think there's trouble now. There's never been trouble like it's going to be on this day. Now we try to begin to read. In chapter 16, we're about to open up the cup of wrath. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials or the bowls, whichever you prefer, of the wrath of God upon the earth. I want you to notice it's not confined to Jerusalem or Israel or the Middle East. It's the world. It's the earth. It's inhabited earth that he's going to pour this out upon. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it'll reach Cookeville, Tennessee.
Amen.
And the first went, and he poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noise and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. At this time, he's going to have his image set up in Jerusalem. He's going to have killed or destroyed the apostate church. He's going to call himself God. You see that described more in 17 and 18. He's going to take over not only the religious realm, but the political realm. He's going to call himself God. And if you don't bow down, take his mark and cut your head off. If people won't give their heart now, I hear people say, I'm just going to wait. Brother Ed can say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm holding that. But God, I'll have another chance. If you won't give your heart now, you'll not give your head later. Very unlikely. There'll be a Jewish remnant. There'll be a Jewish remnant. And he poured it out. Upon the earth there was a noise, some grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon the image, upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Remember what a little oil spill done down in the Gulf of Mexico? I was down in South Mississippi preaching a couple of weeks ago, down there at Biloxi, and you know that water still don't look too good. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous. I want you to get this. These three verses right here. This is what's going to tie this entire thing together. I'll make a statement toward the end of the message. It's going to help you. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now watch this. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Now how can this be true? How can this be right? How can God pour this out on men who can't help themselves? True and righteous are thy judgments. Park that somewhere in your mind. We'll come back to that toward the end of the message. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto, this is very interesting, him, to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. This implies that repentance was possible, but they wouldn't do it. Yeah. Why? And they repented not to give him glory. Yeah. Have you seen incidents or examples of this today? When things start going wrong, people say, I'm mad at God. Why are you mad at God? Because all this bad stuff happened to me. You know it's your soul, you see, saves, not your body. This thing's in those are outward men perish. It's the inward man that's removed day by day. This old thing's going to lay down one day. Bless God, it's the inward man that's coming from the inside out. That's going to go and reign and rule with Christ.
Amen.
on this earth. Why don't they blame the devil? You ever seen bad things happen to anybody? Say, I hate the devil. I say that all the time. You know, he and I aren't best friends. Why? Because he's the one that came to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you still with me?
Amen.
The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Now we know this to be in Jerusalem. That's where the seat of the beast is going to be. That's where the image is going to be. That's where his kingdom's going to be. He's going to set it up. He's going to reign over the world or try. But this is where the kingdom was. He sees the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. Oh, stay with me. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. They gnawed their tongues for pain. Isn't a bad way. Isn't a bad way. And blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. All right, we're already to verse number 12. Angel number 6. Bowl number 6. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, in Jerusalem and a particular time, as long as that river was running full, it was like a barrier for them. It was a safeguard. They couldn't get across the river. But when that river dries up, there's going to be like a highway.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they coming? Well, it was the water got up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. They're coming west. They're coming west. They're headed to a place called Jerusalem. They hate Israel over there today.
Yep.
They hate Israel. And ask them why. We just hate them. Well, quit throwing bombs at them. You know, they might quit throwing them back.
Yep.
Now, this right here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I come back through this, but I want you to hear this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, this hung me out to dry for a little while. And they come out of the mouth until I begin to understand that the dragon or the devil and the mouth of the beast or the Antichrist and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Notice that. To gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Mm-hmm. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. It wasn't a spirit, it wasn't a frog, but it was spirits like the frogs. We've seen the plagues of the frogs in Exodus. Now the frogs in the Hebrews' eye, frogs were something that's terrible, defiled, and they don't care anything about it. They think they're nasty creatures. We eat frog legs around here, but they wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But the thing that's interesting is that they come out of their mouth. You ever tried to shut a frog up? You can't shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I finally got that. What do you say? I'm saying the devil's going, bum, 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 gum, bum, bum, bum. He's talking, bum, 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 bum. And you know what? The Antichrist is, bum, 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 bum. I'm God. Bum, 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 bum. He's being supplied power by the devil. That's who gives him his power. Don't think the devil can't give power to people. Bum, 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 bum. Out of his mouth like a frog. Whoop, whoop, one shut up, another take off. And then here's the false prophet. He's building up the Antichrist. And boom, boom, boom. It's like a spirit of a frog. They won't keep their mouth shut. You can't hush them up.
Yeah.
Sure. Verse 17. I'm all the way to angel 7. You didn't think I could do it that fast. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne saying, "It is done." There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. We've seen some bad earthquakes He said, there ain't never been an earthquake like this one. This one, do things, Brother Larry, they ain't never seen done before. I mean, they're going to be buildings tumble, valleys going to open up, things going to happen like it's never happened before. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon, I don't have time to get into that tonight, but great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Now watch this. To give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. He's going to give it to her. She's going to refuse to drink. You see, it's not something that she'll ingest. It's something being poured out. It's poured out everywhere. It's in the air. In other words, it can't be rejected. They can slide it and say, you drink this. And somebody might say no. But when God pours this thing into the air, it's in every... Air occupies everything, every corner, nook, and cranny in this building. I'm saying it's poured out everywhere and it's unable to be refused. What is it? It's the wrath of God. Our modern day world, Brother Tony, people don't think this is reality. They don't think this is going to occur. They say, man, that book's a book. A bunch of men wrote that book. They did it. It says, moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. You can go 75 to 125. I like to put it in the middle and say they weigh 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and for the plague thereof was exceeding great. This is so good that I feel like I need to pray again. So, well, that don't sound too good to me. Here, let this, it's about to get better. I'm going to tell you. You're about to see something right here. I'm promising. I'm sitting in my study, and the Holy Ghost of heaven knocks on my heart. He said, what do you see there, preacher? He said, well, did God talk to you like that? It's the thought. It's so profound that comes to me, I can't wash it off with dial soap. I mean, he just comes on me. There it is. I know it when he speaks. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. He speaks to you. You never heard his voice. Maybe he's speaking to you. Not to you. You're lost. You're unsaved. You know that. That's God speaking to you. That's not Mike McCoy and one of these other people. That's the Lord. Bless God. I'd like to preach on when he showed me judgment. But look here. Have you seen that before? I said, oh yeah. My mind goes back to Exodus. I said, Lord, I've seen part of these things before. I mean, I've seen the frogs, I've seen the lice, I've seen the blood, I've seen the water, the blood, I've seen you do all these things in Exodus, and the Spirit of God just stirred my soul. He said, you need, you're not seeing it. And I looked at it again. And actually, it was verse 17 that turned the light on for me when it said, it is done. And I went back to verse number 2. And I see where he poured a sword out on the wind. You know what that is? You know what it is? I'm going to give you a picture tonight. I want to draw you a picture for just a few minutes of a place called Calvary. I want you to see something right here.
Yeah.
I want you to see that there was a sword put on a man that had done nothing wrong.
Amen.
You know what a sore is? It's a wound.
Amen.
And he was wounded for my transgressions.
Amen.
And he was bruised for my iniquity.
Yes.
And the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes. We are healed. I'm telling you, there's never been a healing. I've got a cousin that's an orthopedic surgeon. He said, I can cut them open. He said, I take fancy tools and I screw them together. I put the bones together and then I sew them back up. He said, but unless God begins to heal them, he said, you know what? They'll just stay broke. He said, but how God does it? He said, them cells begin to come together and the blood begins to flow. And the life is in the blood. And when the blood begins to flow, the healing takes place. Can I tell you, we're not only healed naturally by the stripes of him, we're healed spiritually today by his stripes. When we were dead in our trespassing sin, he by his stripes glory to God. He healed that somebody. Spiritual infirmity. Shall I see the wound, Lord? What about number three? What about the second bowl? How about he poured out his vial upon the sea and the blood became as what? A dead man. You know what they say about Calvary? Some say he fell asleep. Some say he only swooned. Some said the disciples come and stole the body away. He lived somewhere else. I said they're all out of their mind. Because in Exodus chapter 12, he said, get you a lamb on the 10th day. Keep that lamb up for 4 days. You examine that lamb. There can't be anything wrong with that lamb. That lamb had to have perfect ears, eyes, its teeth had to be good. It couldn't have one leg shorter than the other. I tell you, run your hand through the fur or through the wool. See, make sure it don't have a blemish on it. But after you kept her up for 4 days, you cut that lamb's throat and kill it and take the blood and put on the post and on the upper post. And when I see the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Could the world get a hold that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? You know what it was? It was a dead man's blood that day. It weren't no ordinary blood that was involved. You know, the mama's blood don't have anything to do with the baby, don't you? It's the daddy that the blood comes from. When that seed that put deposited in that egg, you know what happens? A miraculous thing, and I just heard this from a medical person the other day. They said when that conception takes place, there's a little flash of light. I've never heard that before. Maybe somebody's seen that under a microscope. I've never seen. I'll just take it. Don't let turn the light on me, man. He said, but here it is. That miraculous thing begins to occur. And the blood is produced. Doesn't come from the mama. Mary said, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. Said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah! That's who he is! Messiah! And he died on a tree!
Thank you, Lord.
He wasn't laying there kicking, carrying on, having a big time. No. It's the blood of a dead man. That blood's in a different spot tonight, by the way. It's on the mercy seat of God. Praise God forevermore. Aren't you glad of that? Third vial was poured out. We've seen two. We've seen a wound, and we've seen the blood of a dead man. Number three, and then we see this. We see the angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains and the waters, and they became blood. You see what you see? Look at this. Watch this right here. You know what this is? This is a mixture of blood and water. Where have we seen that? And they pierced his side. And what come forth? Brother John? Blood and water. Hey! They pierced his side! And the blood and the water came forth. One did wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of my Jesus. And what I'm about to get happy can make me whole again. Oh, it's nothing but the blood. Help my Jesus. I'm sorry it took it, but I'm glad they still have fountain flowing today. Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All they got to do is take time to the fountain. Oh.
Amen.
I'm going to jump right down to the fourth bowl. Son, the power is given. You know what? It burned. It burned then. I was struggling with that. I thought, Lord, it didn't burn you, but I'll tell you. You know, watch this. You know what this speaks of? It was him that scorched them, but he scorched them by being judged for them. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? In other words, it's like he said, and I, if I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Later in John, he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So in the wilderness, the serpent, the fiery serpent, it burned them. When they bit them, it burned them. If they look on the brass serpent, which is a picture of judgment, if they just look on the brazen serpent, then all they got to do is look to live. Men don't want to look. They want to look at money, finance, They need to look at the cross, at the judgment.
But it burned.
It had not burned them yet. Some's died and gone to hell, and it's burning them today. The rich man's still there, by the way. He's never coming out. Well, he's coming out one day to stand before the great white throne, and of course, tossed into utter darkness and fire there, too. But watch this. Psalm 22. If Psalm 22 is written, Hebrews don't know what a crucifixion is. They've never heard of a crucifixion. Crucifixion's not invented. And the prophet's writing and describing the crucifixion perfectly in Psalm 22. The Assyrians developed it and the Romans perfected it. But the Hebrew never had a crucifixion. But the writer said it like this. He said, all my bones are out of joint. He said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. I've never had a dislocated bone in my body. I'd be very aware of it if I had. But they say, you know what it does? Burns like fire. You know what it's doing? He's enduring the scorching. He's enduring the scorching. And all my bones are out of joint. They positioned him so his shoulders, his arms would come out of joint. They positioned him so his hips, after he had elevated himself as many times as good, it would stretch them things out. He'd begin to lean forward. They would come out of joint. The nails would hold it. When he began, all my bones are out of joint. His feet. So they didn't break a bone. They didn't break a bone, but they pulled them all out of joint.
Amen.
We're talking about preaching about the cup of wrath. Can we see that in the fourth bowl that it scorched him, it burned. It was like fire in the bowl, brother Eric, that you spoke of earlier. We got bowl number five. And I want to park right here for just a minute. Because I think I preached this wrong in the past, and I don't know, I might have preached it here. I don't remember where all I have preached it about the darkness. But I've said this in a message one time, but more than once, actually. I'm preaching and I'm getting a big way, and I'd say, you know what? God let him hang there for 3 hours, and he said, you stared at him long enough, and he turned the lights out. Well, he did that. I don't think that's the motive of God right there. Let me share something with you. Back in Isaiah, he's going to talk about a treasure of darkness. He's going to talk about a treasure and you find it in the dark. And what happens right here is God turns the light out on Jesus. And I think about this day, Brother John, I'll have to about it now. I know it was you that done the suffering. You had a lot of people praying for you. They loved you. They was praying for you. But you know what you had? You had your precious wife. You had your son, you had your daughter, you had your church people. You know what they was? It was all with you. You had some preachers up on the hill, down in the valley. You know what was with you. You know what? You was in the dark, but you wasn't by yourself. And you might have felt like you was by yourself, but you were. Listen, bear one another's burdens. Paul's right. He wasn't by himself. He may have felt like he was, but let me tell you, Jesus was in a dark place, and they weren't nobody with him. There was nobody with him. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm in the dark. The Bible said we pick on Peter, but the Bible said they all forsook him and fled. He's there by himself, and nobody cares for my soul. And there he was hanging between heaven and earth in the darkest place. There ain't nobody ever been in a dark place like Jesus was in. Why would he be in that place, Brother Andrew? Because he's drinking the cup of wrath. Remember in the garden? He said, Father, if it be thou will, let this cup pass from me. We wondered, don't you wonder about what cup that was anymore? It was the wrath of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. You give it. You give it to me. He's a hillbilly boy. Gonna be born one of these days named Mike McCord. And if he don't have somebody drink this for him, he's gonna have to drink it himself. Somebody ought to shout right there. Bless you, God. I said, you're that comfort. Are you still with me? I can't even see the pages.
Thank you.
Hard to get away from the darkness. He said, my tongue was clamped to my jaw. Watch this. Watch this now. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. You know what he said on that tree? He said, I thirst. You know why he was dried up, and I could have something to drink.
Amen.
Amen. Now these are coming to fight. These kings are coming to battle against God Almighty. Foolish little men. They think they're going to fight God. Foolish little men. Amen. I mean, just foolish men. But I'm telling you, the majority of our political leaders in this land think they can fight against God.
Amen.
Foolish little men.
Amen.
Foolish little men. They're going to die one of these days. Be like Mary was, Queen Mary on her deathbed said, all my possessions for another moment of time. Too late, old girl. You've abandoned God all your life and you're about to die and go to hell.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I
said.
But he dried up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I prepared the way.
Amen.
That I could get to the way.
Oh.
Amen.
I'm feeling good. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Said out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hey, one day I came to him and I was so thirsty. And I asked for that water.
Yeah. Bless you, God.
And he gave me water. I'm going to jump right down to verse number 17 here. It's what turned the light on for me. And when he poured all this wrath out, you know what he said? It's done. Jesus said, it is finished.
Yeah.
Now what's done right here is the vial. The complete wrath of God had been poured out. When Jesus said it is finished, salvation was possible for mankind.
Amen.
Now, there had to be a resurrection. But the sacrifice had been made.
Yeah.
The sacrifice has been necessary to appease or please a holy and a righteous God. And no man ever been able to do that but Jesus.
Amen.
You can get mad at me. You can get mad at whoever you want. But I just tell you, I wouldn't get mad at Jesus.
Amen.
He never done anybody anything but good.
Amen.
Why would you get mad at Jesus? Why would people be angry at Jesus? They say, well, he won't let me do this. He won't let me do this. Listen, if the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed.
Yeah.
He gets you out of that stuff. Bless the name of God.
Yeah.
He said, it's done. There's a great earthquake. What happened that day? There's a great quake.
Right.
When we were over there in 99, we went to the tomb. And at the tomb, there's a split in the rock down, what they call it, Borden's tomb. They said, you can believe it, this is the tomb or not. And it might not be the tomb, but there's an earthquake going there in this particular room. And there's a split down that rock. And I asked God, I said, how did the split get there? He said, an earthquake happened. I said, well, I remember when I died.
Yeah.
I've read about that.
Yeah.
There's an earthquake here. Here's something interesting. They blasphemed God. You know what the penalty was in Deuteronomy for blaspheming the Lord? They stoned you to death.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, 100-pound hell balls falling out of the sky, you're a dead man, one hit you.
Mm-hmm.
They fall at 120 miles an hour. You let a 100-pound ball of ice hit you traveling 120 miles an hour, you're a dead man. They take your arm off, they take your head off, it'll mash you to pieces.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They're blaspheming God. What's God doing? Stoning them today. But here you go. All of that to make this one statement. He drank the cup, Mary. And what did we say back in verses, was it 7, when he said, true and righteous are thy judgments? How can it be true and righteous that God poured this on people? I mean, and then, you know why?
Because God's not going to do one thing, put one thing on one person He hadn't already put on Himself. How can He be right in doing it? Because He already tasted it for us.
Amen.
Oh.
Thank you. Praise God.
Can He be right in doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I went to the tree, He could say. And they wounded me. And they bled me. I bled and I died for you. And I was thirsty. Amen. And I made you a river. Hey, and they took me down. There's an earthquake. And I was in the dark by myself. I felt like a father had abandoned me. Everybody left me. Nobody was with me in the worst time of my life. But I tasted it all. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Every drop.
Yeah.
Tell him he drank every drop. So what about the wrath of God? Oh, it's a coming. But you see every bit of it poured out on His Son. I got one boy. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't give him for anybody in this building, including myself. I got one son. And he is the apple of his daddy's eye. Yeah. And he lives in Birmingham, Alabama. And I sure wish he'd get back to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It'd be like me taking this and going to the prison in East Memphis. I had a boy in my church wound up in that place. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can get someplace you never thought you'd be before.
Right.
And it'd be like me walking down there, Brother Eugene, with Dusty under my arm. And say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let them beat my boy to death. He's going to die for all of them. And if you do, all of them can go free. I said, no. You get somebody else's boy. You're not getting back. But you know what God does? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what He's saying? God's done everything He can do. He's poured His wrath out on His Son that His wrath can be appeased that we can have everlasting life. Why would anybody not take that deal?
Amen.
That's the best deal.
Yeah,
right. A.W. Tozer said, I read this today, this guy's brilliant. If you ever read any of his stuff, he said, you know, God, in his wisdom and in His holiness, knew that no man could endure this. So He tasted it for every man. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
Amen.
Now He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Everybody in this room tonight, Jesus drank that cup for you.
Amen.
If I was unsaved, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd come to an altar and I'd just say, Lord, save an old sinner like me. I'll show you something right here and I'm done. We use this verse a lot. For God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, just dying, that don't sound too bad. I think we've seen tonight that it was more than a death. It was the wrath of God and He drank every drop of that cup. Every time you take communion and that thing's real sweet, just think about this. Think of what Jesus' cup tastes like.
Amen.
We're drinking the sweet cup. He took the bitter cup.
That's right.
He drank every drop. He commended His blood toward us, and that's why we get sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than, next verse, verse 9. Much more than. Much more what? Much more than God giving His Son. Much more than Him loving us. Much more than Him commending His love toward us. Much more than being now just
justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Don't tell me I got to taste the wrath. Bless God, I'm not tasting it because my Jesus already took the cup. I'm not tasting it. Jesus took my wrath. I deserved it, but I'm not tasting it. Glory to God, if you won't shout, I'll hear all. Hallelujah. I'm glad He drank the cup. I'm sorry He had to do it, but I'm glad I'm not tasting it.
Thank
you, Lord. Yes, sir. Good for people will taste
it. Yeah. If
they refuse His grace now, you'll have to have His wrath later.
Right.
That's
right.
I bought your son. Hey, look here. I'm going to ask you to stand your feet tonight. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a minute. We're not going to sing just yet. If you're here tonight, and you need to be saved, can I tell you, God's never going to make it any easier than it is right now. There's nobody in this building going to make fun of you tonight if you come to the altar of prayer. They're going to be excited and encouraged by it. And this very night, listen, your soul may hinge on this very night. And you don't want to taste this wrath. Jesus already drank it. He drank that cup for us. We don't have to taste it. So before we even sing, in the stillness of the moment, would you just step out? Come just a short walk to an altar of prayer. See, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon His name shall not be ashamed. Deny me before me, and I'll have to deny you before my Father which is in heaven. I don't want to deny. I drink the cup of wrath for you. Jesus wants to save you tonight. If you would come and just say, Lord, here I am. I'm just no sinner. And I want Your grace tonight instead of Your wrath. And the Holy Spirit's convinced me that this is true. I need to be saved tonight. Won't you come and let God change you? Help. He wants to save you. He drank the cup that you don't have to taste it. As we sing and I pray, I bid you come. Brother Bob, go ahead, please.
Number 241.
Here's Lord. Here's Lord. Now, Lord, you and your Holy Ghost will do your work. Trust the heart.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Far
my garden is Christ's free. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Far my
that blood stuff. That's what he moved to believe God.